Our Bible reading tonight comes from the book of Lamentations, Lamentations 3, verses 19 to 24. It's not a book that we read from often, but yet this is a passage which I'm sure is very well known. And the words will be up on the screen behind me if you don't have a Bible. And if you do have a Bible, I would encourage you to read along. Excuse me. So we're reading from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 to 24. It says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Amen. People of Riverbank, back in 2023, excuse me, back in 2023, Caroline and I were coming back from a holiday in Europe, and we started our return journey with a bus trip from Aachen to Brussels. Then we had a short hop over to London, and from there we were going to fly back to Sydney and then back home. But the weather in Brussels was really bad. Our plane was delayed. And when we finally reached London, we missed our main flight by just a few minutes. Now, we weren't overly concerned at this point because we had paid extra to book connecting flights. And so the airline had promised to deal with such hiccups, promised to look after us and to get us back without discomfort or distress. Everything was good. So we dutifully lined up with hundreds of others. It was about 10 o'clock at night at this point. We looked forward to finding out how they were going to help us and keep their commitment. A few people at the head of the queue were sorted out and sent happily on their way. But can you imagine our horror as the announcement came over that they were now finishing up for the night, closing the desk, and going home. They had no more flights, they had no more available hotels, no more assistance or advice on offer. We were totally abandoned and told that we now had to sort things out for ourselves. We'd already spent a whole day travelling and now had no choice but to spend the night and the following day without our luggage somewhere in Heathrow Airport. And Heathrow Airport, let me tell you, is specifically designed to prevent you from getting comfortable in any possible way and definitely to prevent you from getting any kind of sleep. We had to wait another 24 hours until the seats with a different airline were organised. And so as a result, we also missed our final flight from Sydney to Launceston, having to rebook it at enormous cost. We were told we would be compensated later, which of course we never really were. And so in the end, we were seriously let down by the airline that we had put our trust in. They failed us, they deserted us, they betrayed us. They were unfaithful in keeping the pledge that they had made when we booked. And I don't think we'll ever fly with them again. I wonder how often you have been seriously let down in your own life. How often you've experienced disappointment, disloyalty, infidelity. How often have others been unfaithful toward you? It can happen when you trust one of your kids, but they betray your trust so badly. It can happen when you rely on a family member, but yet they fall short of your expectations. It can happen when you and your spouse make vows to one another, but yet they betray you. and it results in pain and misery, maybe even separation and divorce. We can experience disloyalty in a work context or in a business relationship. We can be disappointed by teachers or by doctors or by lawyers, by retailers or real estate agents, by banks or insurance companies. We become disillusioned with government or government agencies. We can be deeply let down by our fellow Christians or deeply let down by the church. But even as we say that, we know full well, don't we, that sometimes we're the ones who are letting other people down, at least if we're willing to be honest. I mean, how often haven't we been the disappointment? How often haven't we failed to keep our promises? How often haven't we failed to meet our commitments? I'm sure that all of us have experienced in life that people, including ourselves, can be so fickle, so disloyal, so unreliable. Humans and human organisations can be so deeply upsetting, untrustworthy, and lacking in faithfulness. And in the end, we just do not know for sure if the promises that we are relying upon are actually going to be fulfilled. And as a result of that, we can sometimes find it difficult to imagine that we could ever completely trust anyone. And we can sometimes find it difficult to imagine that we could ever completely trust God. Because, my friends, the reality is that if you are a Christian, then you're staking an awful lot on the Lord and on His promises. You're staking everything on Him and on His Word. You rely on Him to have told you the truth. You rely on Him to forgive your sins and to save you from judgment and to accept you into His family. You rely on Him to love you and to care for you every single day, to guide you and sustain your life. You rely on Him to provide you peace and joy and hope. My friends, you rely on Him to bless the sacrifices that you make for Him. And you rely on Him that one day He indeed will give you that eternal inheritance that He has promised. And friends, we depend on the fact that God will never go back on His pledges, that He will never change His mind, that He will never betray our trust, that He will never make an announcement that He will now leave us to figure it out for ourselves. We depend on the fact that He will never, ever let us down. But is our trust well placed and is our hope secure? Is the Lord our God actually reliable and trustworthy, dependable and loyal? Well, tonight we're going to find out that He absolutely is. Because we are returning once more to this very special passage in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. Because here the Lord, as we have already seen, is revealing Himself to us. He is revealing His character. He's revealing His deepest heart to Moses and to His people and to us. And this is what it says. It says, "And He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished.'" You might remember that this passage comes hot on the tail of that golden calf incident. The people of Israel had demonstrated in such a clear and colossal way that they were unfaithful to God. He had delivered them from their slavery in Egypt. He had made a glorious covenant with them. But yet they turned against Him so quickly in idolatry and in immorality. But even in the light of this gross betrayal, It's the Lord Yahweh who declares that he is not just faithful, but that he is abounding, brimming, overflowing in faithfulness. Over the last few weeks, we've considered how the Lord is compassionate toward us. We've considered how he is so gracious, how he is slow to anger, how he is abounding in love. But yet we may wonder, will he always be so? Is there a time when his compassion will run out? Are there conditions under which his grace will be withheld? Could he ever lose his patience and rather than being slow to anger, become quick to anger? Might his love toward us ever fail? Well, that's why we need to consider and understand, but also trust that our Lord is abounding in faithfulness. And the word that is used here, it's the Hebrew word emet. And this word means solid reliability, absolute integrity, complete steadfastness. It's interesting, the word can also be translated simply as truth. And so some translations say the Lord is abounding in truth. And what that shows us is that he is absolutely true to his word, that he will never lie and he will never deceive, that his promises are all solid and trustworthy. And you know, this is often stated, or should I say restated for us throughout the Old Testament. For example, in Deuteronomy 7, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." Or there's Psalm 36, where it says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." Psalm 86, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Or Psalm 119, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures." But you know, I especially love the words that we read earlier from Lamentations chapter 3. And you know, in Lamentations chapter 3, the author isn't in a good way. And we would say he has legitimate reasons to think maybe the Lord has even abandoned him. He says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me." He's not doing well. And sometimes we're not doing well. But yet he knows that behind all of that, he can still rely on God. "Yet this I call to mind," he says, "and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." Friends, life's not always easy. And sometimes things go so very wrong for us. Sometimes we feel like no one cares, like no one understands, like we don't have a single soul to turn to. But even then, we need to remember that our loving and compassionate God truly is abounding in faithfulness, that he will never go back on his word and he will never let you down. But you know, the Old Testament doesn't only state this, but it also shows it to us. God demonstrates his faithfulness over and over again in such real and concrete ways. And for just one example of that tonight, think about Joshua chapter 21. You will know that the people had spent many long and difficult years in the wilderness, and that finally they came into the glory of the promised land. And listen to what it says, Joshua 21. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Isn't that just glorious? There are so many times when we may despair and think that all is lost, that we're never going to exit this desert that we find ourselves in. But not one of God's good promises will fail, and we will experience his blessing again. Friends, we need to understand that the ultimate demonstration of God's faithfulness is found in the New Testament and in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in him that all of these covenant promises are fulfilled. And I invite you to think, for example, of the song of Zechariah in Luke chapter 1 as he anticipates the imminent birth of Jesus. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." Even though so many years had passed by, God's wonderful promise of salvation was kept in Jesus. But friends, we must also realize that his faithfulness continues to apply to each one of our own lives, even today. And so, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, "He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Or perhaps you know those words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Or 1 John chapter 9, where John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And my friends, in these passages we can see this beautiful truth of Exodus 34, that the Lord Yahweh truly is abounding in faithfulness. But friends, this fact is so important for each and every one of us. For we all know how unfaithful people can be, how unfaithful we ourselves can be, and we know the severe pain and the disappointment that the disloyalty and infidelity brings. And so sometimes it can be really hard for us to completely believe that God could be different to that. Surely sometimes we have lingering thoughts that one day we'll find out it was all a cruel joke, that God was lying to us, that eventually he will lose his patience with us, that he will turn on us, that one day we'll discover that he won't save us, that he won't be true to the promises he has made. Well, I want to tell you and assure you today, and I pray that the Lord would impress this upon you in the strongest possible way, that will never happen, because he truly is a faithful God. He is completely loyal and dependable and reliable and trustworthy. He has perfect integrity and will always keep his word. He cannot do otherwise. Our Lord is for us, and he will never let us down. Please don't believe it because I say so. Believe it because it's the message of his own word, where his faithfulness is not only stated, but it is demonstrated over and over again. And my friends, believe it because of the coming of Jesus, who fulfills God's promises that he had made from the beginning. Believe it because Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself for us on the cross, and because he rose again from the dead, winning the victory on our behalf, so that the covenant of salvation was made a reality. And my friends, believe it because of the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your own heart, as he helps you to see that no matter how many bad experiences you have had, that the Lord is the only one who will never disappoint. And believe it because you know, don't you, that he has been faithful to you in the past, and that will not change in the future. But I urge you not only to believe in his faithfulness, but to allow the truth of it to fill you with such comfort and such joy. Just think with me for a moment about some of the wonderful promises that God has actually made to us. Think about Deuteronomy chapter 31. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Or Isaiah 41. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Well, John chapter 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Or think with me about these promises scattered throughout Romans chapter 8. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or think about this promise in Philippians chapter 4. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Or the promise of Revelation 21, where God tells us he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And are they not all summed up so beautifully in Psalm 23? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, such glorious truths, such glorious pledges that Almighty God has made to those who put their hope in Him. And we can know deep in our hearts that every single one of these words is trustworthy and true. There are absolutely no circumstances under which He will change His mind or go back on these promises. And if you cling to Him in faith, then there are absolutely no circumstances under which these truths will not apply to you. My brothers and sisters, I began with a story of how we were so deeply let down and disappointed by an airline who failed to keep their commitment to look after us in the way they had said. And we've all experienced that in our lives, haven't we? So many different ways. But let's be so clear today. The Lord is not like that. He truly is abounding in faithfulness. It's an integral part of everything He does. It's an integral part of everything that He is. And we know that we fall short in so many ways. We're so sinful. We think and we say and we do things that are hurtful. We forget our Saviour. We neglect to honour Him. We fail to be the witnesses God calls us to be. We constantly struggle with temptations and doubts of so many kinds. But even so, the Lord will never turn against the repentant sinner who clings to Christ as their Saviour. The Lord will never turn against you or me. As Paul assures us in 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. And so I want to urge you tonight to take deep comfort in this knowledge. Be filled with gratitude. Be filled with trust. Stop worrying that God might sometime change His mind. You do not need to fear that He will betray you or desert you. You can rely on Him in the good times, but you can also rely on Him in the hard times and even in the hardest of times. Let that wash over you today. Feel it deep in your heart. He loves you so much. Yes, even you. Even with all of your struggles, even with all of your failures, He loves you. And He will never let you go. He will never change His mind. He will never let you down. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, He is slow to anger and abounding in love, but He is also abounding in faithfulness. It's at the core of His being. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And friends, that is why we sing, "Great is Your faithfulness. O God, my Father, You have fulfilled all Your promise to me. You never fail, and Your love is unchanging. All You have been, You forever will be. Great is Your faithfulness. Great is Your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Your hand has provided. Great is Your faithfulness, Father, to me." Let's pray. Lord, we are just so incredibly grateful that we can depend on You 100%. Lord, we know that You cannot lie, that You cannot fail us, that You cannot change Your mind. How good to know that You love us so deeply, that You are for us completely, and that You will never let us down. Lord, we want to thank You tonight with all of our hearts for revealing to us that You are abounding in faithfulness. And Father, we pray that you would help us to know this deep within our own hearts. Lord, help us to know this even when people are unfaithful to us. And Father, help us to know this even when we are unfaithful to you. May this truth allow us to feel your security, that we might be secure in our faith. Lord, we pray that it would fill us with gratitude, that we would be so thankful for this glorious truth. And Father, we pray that it might truly deepen our trust in you today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, what else could we sing but great is your faithfulness. Let's stand and sing that together. Going to close in just a moment by singing some words from Psalm 57, "Be exalted, O God." But before we do, can I just, first of all, thank you for being here tonight for this time of worship. of hearing God's word, but also of fellowship together. A reminder of our offering for ministry formation and the cash box and the information on your right as you exit, and also a reminder that Andy Carden is here, and please do take the opportunity to say hi to Andy and hear a bit more about their work if you haven't had the opportunity already. But we're going to close with some words from 1 Thessalonians 5, some of which we already heard earlier. Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Amen.